Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. Hour two. It is great to be here. We are live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio right here on FS1. Happy Labor Day, everybody. Thanks so much for committing to us. Joy's back tomorrow. She was going to fly in last night, but mechanical stuff, you know how it is. Flying's not as easy as it used to be, so she will be joining us tomorrow. Look forward to that. Peter King, the great Peter King, will be joining us in less than 15 minutes. So thanks again. Hope you've had a great summer. It has been unique. It has been hard. It has been difficult. I was just talking this morning. The people in our makeup and hair department are back for the first time in 5 months. For many of them, thank you. Hair finally looks cut and adult. Thank you. Instead of me putting my hand through it for 5 months, they're kids. They don't get to go to school. It has been a really, really rough last 6 months for America. So if we can add a little normalcy and enjoyment, we hope we do. But we feel your pain and we know what you're going through. We're going through it as well. And here we are. Football season starts Thursday. Well, every Monday at this time, we call it Colin Right, Colin Wrong. I'm plenty of both, and here we go.
Where Colin was right?
Russell Westbrook. I almost felt guilty doing this because, when he won the MVP, I said he's talented. He's not valuable. The Rockets yesterday were better when he was not on the floor. He's shooting 39% in the playoffs. He's shooting under 43% at the free throw line. The Lakers were begging him to shoot yesterday. And once again, emotionally, he unravels. Now, I do think he'll play better in game three. And I do think there's, at times, an element to his kind of frenetic pace that is redeemable. But good Lord, at this point, if you're still defending him at every turn, I can't help you. This now is what he is. A unraveling playoff disaster about every second or third game.
Where Colin was wrong.
Mitch Trubisky's been named the starter for the Chicago Bears. I thought they went out to get Nick Foles to move on, but he was named the starter. It feels like it's the GM trying to save a little face. They name him the starter Friday on a news dump. They didn't even want their Bear fans to know about it, which is frankly fascinating to me. They open up with the Giants, Detroit, Atlanta. So I would imagine Chicago's got some talent. They could go 2-1 or 3-0 in those games. In the end, I just think the teams like Arizona that can admit they made a mistake at quarterback and move on, I think they succeed. This feels like they're just trying to minimize the PR damage when they move off of Mitch Trubisky. They've already declined his fifth-year option. But I didn't even think he was going to win the starting job. He did over Nick Foles.
Where Colin was right.
Every great football coach in my life has a hole, has a weakness. Bill Belichick, it's skill positions. They just released Mohamed Sanu. They gave up a second-round pick for him. Listen, Belichick does a lot of things right. But come late January, I've been told by two different sources, he says, I got the draft from here. And a lot of times, he does a remarkable job. This organization, though, and it's on Belichick, can't figure out wide receiver to save their life. They don't have a deep threat. They have no functional veteran tight end. I think they have, in my opinion, one of the weakest wide receiver tight end cores, if not the weakest in the entire league. Bill just doesn't spend a lot of time watching college football on Saturday, apparently, because they can't get wide receiver right and they butcher the Sanu deal.
Where Colin was wrong.
Belichick and Cam Newton are besties. Who would have thunk? Belichick has praised Cam Newton for 3 to 4 weeks straight. Cam Newton said yesterday, it's a match made in heaven. Just knowing that I'm a place where everything is pulling in the same direction. Kind of a shot at Ron Rivera in Carolina. But nonetheless, I thought this was an odd fit. I thought it was a strange fit. But you know what? Cam Newton's aware. He doesn't have a great team. They're not going to win 12, 11 games. But if he's healthy, he's a playmaker, he's coachable, he's all in, there's going to be a market for Cam Newton. And, you know, tip of the cap for him realizing this matters a lot to his legacy and his career. It matters a lot. He's taken it seriously. And this relationship so far has been much more seamless than I would have predicted.
Where Colin was right.
I understood the fascination with Jadeveon Clowney. He's just so big and strong. But I never got the money and the hype. And by the way, he just signed a one-year deal with Tennessee. That was the market. There was no market for him. One or two teams wanted him. His career is, I mean, the most sacks he's had in a year is 9.5. In his career, he's got 32 in like 6 years. Now, he is a staggering physical specimen. And he does have a handful of splash or wow plays every year that just jump through the television set. But I've been saying this for years, is I just don't feel like consistently, game in and game out, I get an all-pro performance for Jadeveon Clowney, and there wasn't much of a market for him.
Where Colin was wrong.
I've been real tough on Chris Middleton of the Bucks. I think he's played great against Miami. In Miami, Eric Spoelstra is a very good defensive coach. Yesterday, 36 points, bailed out Milwaukee. He's averaged 26 points in the series again. This is a well-coached defense in Miami. And Giannis, he's played more minutes than Giannis. He's been more consistent than Giannis. And listen, if I can criticize Chris Middleton, and I've always said he's a B player, paid like an A player, I got to give credit where credit's due. I think he's been really, really good in this series. He's been really consistent. And, I mean, yesterday, you know, when you're dropping 36 in an NBA playoff game, that is a star performance, and Chris Middleton deserves praise.
Where Colin was right.
Giannis, shrinkage in the playoffs. Listen, I like the kid, and I think he's a really good kid, and I wouldn't have voted him MVP, but he's a top three candidate. But this whole he's going to replace LeBron as the face of the league nonsense, I didn't buy into that for a second. He doesn't shoot, okay? So if you trail in an NBA playoff game, he's much better playing with a lead than trailing. He can be marginalized in playoff series and playoff games, and now I've seen it multiple times. If they don't win this series, in 7-8 years in this league, he's won 3 playoff series in the incredibly weak Eastern Conference. Again, like him, think he's a really, really good player and an exceptional kid, but I mean, the face of the league. You're talking about Magic and Michael and LeBron and Shaq. I don't see him as that kind of player. I see him as a perennial all-star and a multiple MVP winner. You know, kind of a Karl Malone, never the face of the league, but a darn good player, a Hall of Famer. But I think we've jumped to multiple levels he won't reach.
Where Colin was wrong.
The Yankees are suddenly awful. They're 8th in the American League playoff race. They're 3rd in their own division. And all their young stars, what's happened? Gary Sanchez cannot hit major league pitching. Aroldis Chapman now throws 94 miles an hour, not 101. Giancarlo Stanton's never healthy. Aaron Judge is not healthy. They're young. They may miss the playoffs. I mean, wasn't it going to be a Yankee-Dodger year? Dodgers kept their end of the bargain up. They are injured. They're not very good. Sanchez was a flash. Aroldis Chapman's done. It is ugly for the Yankees.
Where Colin was right.
Well, all summer long, I made one or two predictions with college football and COVID. I said the SEC will put their head down. We will have an SEC season. And the Pac-12, I highly doubt it. It's a different conference. They're very academic leaning. They don't have the stomach for some of this stuff. And what do you know? The Pac-12 is out. They don't appear to have, unlike the Big Ten, any reorganization plan. And the SEC is ready to go, full steam ahead. Whether I agree with the conference or not, this is what separates the SEC. They're more aggressive. They're more passionate. When you deal with COVID, if you look at the people that have made it work, the UFC, golf, NASCAR, the NBA, you got to be aggressive. You're going to have positive tests. The healthiest people in the world are athletes under 24 in elite physical condition. Those are the safest people during this in the SEC. This is why they've separated from the sport, has been the most aggressive dealing with this. Maybe they'll be wrong in a month, and maybe the Pac-12 will be the smart guys, but we were right in the prediction.
Where Colin was wrong.
Rookie of the Year, John Morant, got 99 out of 100 votes. Zion finished third. Listen, I understand John Morant played more games. But does everybody realize that points per minute, Zion had the most in the history of the league for a rookie except Wilt? I thought Zion's impact when he was on the floor, around the basket, elevating teammates, the TV scheduling, I thought he had the greatest impact of every rookie. I don't think these awards should be about stats. That's why I never got Russell Westbrook's MVP. He had a good stat year. It didn't mean he was valuable. And I thought the rookie that was the most discussed, the most impactful, was Zion. But let's be honest, he didn't play many games.
Where Colin was wrong.
The Houston Rockets, and I'll just own this. This is, I never thought I would see it happen, have been the number one defense in the playoff bubble. Wow. I mean, they're the smallest team. Harden considers defense a hobby, not a profession. Westbrook kind of mails it in sometimes on the defensive end. PJ Tucker's, by the way, fantastic at that. But it's shocking. Number one defensive team in the bubble, held the Lakers under 100 points. And I'll tell you something. Defense is about, do you want to play it? Offense is about talent. Defense is about, are you committed? Do you want to play it? Mike D'Antoni, again, is a guy that never talks defense. You got to give Mike D'Antoni and his staff credit. They play their butt off defensively. I never thought I would see this. They are relentless. They are feisty. They get in your face. They battle for every rebound. It is a lot about effort. And I never thought I would say Houston Rockets, elite defensive team with James Harden. But they are. All right, good stuff. Peter King is around the corner. Eric Mangini this hour as well. Great to have you in on a Labor Day. Thanks for making us one of your choices today. We do appreciate that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox NFL Sunday is back this week with a great slate of early games. Then in America's Game of the Week, Tom Brady and the new-look Bucks take on Drew Brees and the Saints. Check local listings for the games in your area or watch it on the Fox Sports app.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited for that. I am so excited for that.
We get Brady twice this year. That's awesome.
I mean, we got so lucky. Tom Brady just fell into the NFC lap. How great is that? Peter King's now joining us, three-time National Sports Writer of the Year, NBCSports.com, Football Morning in America, and he is joining us, and I'm looking at Peter's predictions here. Well, let's talk Leonard Fournette. I said this. It's not what you get your wife. It's not what you get your wife for your anniversary, but you better remember the anniversary. It's not that they have to go get Tom Brady everything, but I think the commitment of Shady McCoy, the commitment of Leonard Fournette. Peter, I think it means something. It's like, listen, Tom, they're doing this in New Orleans with Drew Brees. Tom, we're all in. We're about you. I think Fournette actually is a real piece. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that was a good get for them. I still think at the end of the day, it'll be running back by committee there. But I think Ronald Jones gets the most touches, rushing and receiving in that backfield. Look, Pro Football Focus had a great stat last week about Tom Brady in talking about why they believe he'll have a kind of a resurgent season. Pro Football Focus has been doing numbers on every NFL player for the last 14 years, since 2006. And collectively, the receiving core of the New England Patriots in 2019 was the worst as a team that they've ever graded on any team in 14 years.
Wow.
So you look at that, and you just say, hey, you know, because everybody was ready to throw Brady in the dumpster. Now let's see when this year Tom Brady has the best weapons collectively he's had in his career, or at least since 2007. You know, with Randy Moss.
Yeah.
But I think collectively, all together, it's going to be better than 2007. And so we'll see what Brady has left.
So I'm looking at your stuff here, Peter. I don't want to give too much away before we get to your NFL predictions. But you and I have a lot of agreements You like Miami more than I do. Explain yourself, Mr. King. Why do you like Miami? I still think they're a rebuild.
You know, I think that when you look at the Miami Dolphins and you look at what happened last year, they found themselves in the second half of the season. They had a better record after Halloween than the New England Patriots did. And I think they've made all the right moves this offseason. I love the acquisition of Kyle Van Noy. I think he's going to be a superb player in that defense. And look, I think they're going to be good enough on offense, Colin. I don't know when Tua's going to play. I assume it'll be at some point this year. You know, but I think they were good enough on offense last year. And, you know, to get Byron Jones, who's the best cornerback in free agency in the last 3 or 4 years, I mean, they've really, really helped themselves, in my opinion. If you talk about Van Noy and Byron Jones, those two guys, and then obviously you draft Tua, and I just think they're an improved team. And again, one of the reasons I made this pick, I picked Buffalo to make the playoffs, but, you know, I'm unconvinced about Josh Allen.
Yeah, fair.
I just don't know who he is.
Yeah.
I don't know who he is, and so I need to see him play better. It's one of the reasons I picked Seattle over San Francisco, because the postseason kind of shook my confidence in Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could be wrong. The 49ers could win 14 games, and Garoppolo could play as well as he did for most of the regular season. But as for now, I'm just a little bit shaky about Garoppolo.
Okay, so let's go look at Peter's AFC predictions again. For our radio audience, I'll read those. Our AFC predictions for Peter King NFL season. Ravens, Chiefs, Titans, Dolphins win the division. Not outrageous. Little high on the Dolphins for me. Your wild cards are the Colts, Bills, and the Raiders. So I don't know if the Raiders can stop anybody, and they're moving to a new city, which historically has been tough. Why do you like the Raiders so much?
I just think the last 2 years, Mike Mayock has basically said in the draft, he said, look, I love big time players from big time programs. And what Mike Mayock is doing, I don't know, you got to be a person of a certain age, really of a certain age, to remember the college all-star game.
Yeah.
Okay. Every year, the first exhibition game used to be the world champions against a team of college all-stars.
Wow, yeah.
And to me, Mike Mayock has created, you know, the SEC and, you know, and Clemson and the Big Ten. He's picked the best players out of the biggest programs. And he's done that for 2 years in a row. And I think he is gambling that the chemistry experiment they do is going to pay off. And also gambling that a base, basically, of Hunter Renfrow and Henry Ruggs is going to be a nucleus for some great offensive weaponry.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I like the Raiders. I feel the same way about Carr that everybody else does. You know, he's kind of in prove-it mode to me, but I like the Raiders.
Yeah. Let's go to the NFC, where Peter's got Dallas, New Orleans, Seattle, and Minnesota winning a division. San Francisco, Tampa, and Detroit as wild card teams. So you have I look at Dallas as a 8-8, 9-7 club. You're high on Dallas. Why? I don't like their defense. I don't like the back end of their defense at all, Peter.
I don't like the back end of their defense very much either, but here's the way I look at it. I think Dallas and Philadelphia have a big advantage, and Philadelphia is the one team I didn't have making the playoffs that really bothered me to not have them in there. But, you know, Colin, you can't just pick the same teams because
never works that way.
You just can't.
Yeah.
You know, you got to throw in a Detroit every now and then,
right,
and a Raiders. But the thing about Dallas, I think they're going to score a heck of a lot of points. I think Dak is going to be an MVP consideration. And you're absolutely right. I don't trust their secondary either. But I do think that being in the same division with Washington and the Giants, you know, basically gives you almost a New England kind of advantage.
Yeah.
Traditionally, when you're going for home field. And so it was, you know, I love the Saints, too. I think the Saints are a better team than the Cowboys, almost without question. But, you know, the Saints, you know, they've got a really, really tough schedule. And to me, I think you need to look at the schedule when you look at how a team is going to end up that season.
So your Super Bowl prediction, I haven't really given mine yet. Maybe I have. I forgot. Tampa Bay over the Ravens. I'm all in on the Ravens. It's so funny about this because I've told my team, my staff, for months, I'm like, I know I'm going to chicken out. I won't choose Tampa, but something tells me it just is too magical. I look at the schedule and I'm like, God, if they can just play good defense in September until they get hot offensively, let's just say you're right. And the Bucs beat the Ravens. Your column on Monday, I mean, in the pantheon of sports history, it almost feels LeBron, Cleveland. It's this, a 43-year-old guy wins a Super Bowl, Peter. It'll be one of the craziest things of our lives.
It won't even be close to LeBron, because LeBron was still nearly in his prime, in his absolute prime, when he last won a championship. And he did not go to an absolute basement team at, you know, very late in his career after anybody in his sport had ever played great football. The Bucs haven't made the playoffs in 13 years. You know, so it's just, to me, it's all comparisons to this would be silly. But again, look, I think everybody, you know, who's obviously calling me an idiot for picking the Bucs, and I totally get it. I knew it would happen. But I think they're forgetting one thing. Last year, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers turned the ball over 41 times. You know the last team to turn the ball over that many times in a season? The Cleveland Browns, the year they went 0-16. And the Bucs turned it over 41 times, and they entered their last two games 7-7 on a four-game win streak.
Yeah.
And they should have won both of their last two games against Houston and Atlanta. They lost both. Why? Because Jameis Winston threw six interceptions. So all I'm saying is that they have a base of talent. And now if they get an efficient quarterback, you know, this is the stat of this season right now. Jameis Winston threw 30 interceptions in 16 games last year. Tom Brady has thrown 30 interceptions in his last 64 games.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a team that's not going to turn it over. And if their defense is 10th or 12th in the league,
it will be.
It could be and should be. Okay. Then I don't think it's that big a leap to say the Bucs are going to be really good.
Yeah, actually, we'll see. Yeah, the one thing I don't like, I think their division's good, and I don't like their special teams, and I think Super Bowls so often come down to just situational football, and Tampa Bay can't get quarterback right historically and kicker right. They just can't do it. All right, Peter King.
You're right. Let me just say one thing. Nobody knows anything about special teams because they haven't been able to practice it all through the season. So who knows what it's going to look like on Sunday? Go ahead.
Finally, there is one team that everybody's telling me to buy, and I think they've got all the things I like. They've got an experienced coach who's won a Super Bowl, a quarterback who's won a Super Bowl, great ownership, Kevin Colbert, good GM. Boy, I don't buy Pittsburgh. I look around right now and I see these Mahomes and Reed and Harbaugh and Lamar. And I got to tell you, I look at that division right now, Peter, for the first time in my life, I think they're a sub-500 football team this year. Where do you land with the Steelers? I look at you. You don't have the Steelers in the playoffs either.
No, you know what I think it is, Colin? It's if you told me that Ben Roethlisberger is starting 16 games this year, I would have put him in the playoffs. But, I mean, he's missed 22 games due to injury in, I think, the last 5 years, whatever that number is. And he's 38 years old. He missed 14 games last year with the elbow his elbow injury. So, again, I think, you know, and look, this Chase Claypool, the receiver who they drafted in the second round, he's going to be a really, really good player. But, again, I don't trust their quarterback depth chart, let's just say.
Yeah.
And so to me, that there are some teams where you're not concerned about who the backup quarterback is. I'm very concerned who the backup quarterback is in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Peter King, NBCSports.com. Great stuff. Football Morning in America. Peter, thank you so much.
Thanks, Colin.
You bet. I've got the Ravens in the Super Bowl. I don't know who I pick. Who did I pick with them? I forgot. I like the Ravens a lot. I think they're going to steamroll people. I think they're going to roll over a lot of people. Raycon wireless earbuds. They have a new type, Everyday E25. Bluetooth pairing is perfect. More bass, 6 hours of playtime, 15% off. Go to buyraycon.com/herd, H-E-R-D. Raycon. Here is veteran newsman John Goulet.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
So with the Heat already up 3-0 and Giannis getting hurt, it seemed like there would be a second straight sweep for the Miami Heat, but the Bucks held on, won in overtime, 118-115 to force a game five. And Heat guard Jimmy Butler said after the game, it was actually Giannis getting hurt that changed everything.
Well, it shouldn't affect ours, but I think that we relaxed a little bit. And we stopped playing basketball the right way. We stopped guarding. We stopped living by our defensive principles. We weren't getting the 50-50 balls. We were getting out-rebounded. It was just all bad.
I'll tell you what. Is there an NBA guy who has changed his reputation more in 6 months, well, I should say a year now, than Jimmy Butler? Like, we were on the Jimmy Butler's kind of a flake, hard to get along with, little bit of a diva. What is he doing leaving Philadelphia to a relentless worker, leading a young Miami team, incredibly dependable on both ends of the floor, unbelievably coachable. I mean, I don't remember the last time there was an NBA star that I literally, in a year, I'm like, because I was kind of on the, what is he doing going to Miami? He's got all sorts of talent. Philadelphia now is unraveling. Miami is massively overachieving.
Well, and they built a culture that fits him, right? They play extremely hard. They're kind of selfless. Like, their team matches his personality, and yeah, it really fits.
And they also, Miami has a history. Joey and I talk about this all the time. Some organizations know how to treat stars. The Miami Heat, Pat Riley, former Laker in L.A., they treat stars like they should be treated. They don't go cheap. They support them. They market them. They promote them. But they just ask, we're going to coach the hell out of you. We're going to coach you hard. Spoelstra does. But Jimmy feels loved and respected, and he's totally flourished.
Plus, it's Pat Riley. He's literally been winning since the 70s, and we always seem surprised when he does really well. Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh joined parents and players on Saturday in a walk to protest the Big Ten postponing the season. Harbaugh not only said his team has been staying ready, but that they could be ready to play a game in 2 weeks if there was one. That's all. I know Urban Meyer had come on before and said you need at least 4 to 5. Jim Harbaugh says 2 weeks, they're ready to go. We saw some other conferences start their seasons over the weekend. The major conferences start this weekend for most of them, other than the SEC, which starts in a few weeks. And now we've seen Ohio State and Michigan protest. Do you think all of that could force the Big Ten into reconsidering postponing their season?
I think they'll try to start it somewhere around Thanksgiving. I feel bad if you're Michigan or Ohio State, especially Ohio State, and high school football in Ohio's going, and the Cincinnati's going, and the NFL's going, and you're the football power in the state, and you look out your window, and all your neighbors are playing, and you're not. Like, I get Ohio State being bitter. I totally get it. Like, it's tough when everybody's allowed to go out and play, and mom makes you sit in the basement and look out the mirror, look out the window.
But if you can play in November, what is the difference?
Well, that's, of course, the point, which is November's probably more problematic because the flu season kicks off around November.
Well, and also, imagine how weird it's going to be. We're going to be watching, you know, Georgia and Alabama play each other in the SEC championship game. And also that day, Ohio State is playing Rutgers in week 3. It's just not, you know, and they're going to have their own kind of, like, Rose Bowl maybe against the Pac-12 winner, but we're going to be watching football. It's so weird. And finally, the Dallas Cowboys went 8-8 last year with a very good offense that came up short in big games. Over the offseason, they added talented rookie receiver CeeDee Lamb and some veterans on the defense. The running back Ezekiel Elliott says this is the best team he's been on.
This is probably the most talented team I've been on. Look at the depth chart. Look at the roster. Just look how many, you know, Pro Bowlers, how many All-Pro guys we have. I think we're looking great. I think we're at a good spot.
Outside of secondary, he's right.
Okay, yeah. Here's the thing. Last year, like I said, 8-8. They got better at receiver, which wasn't a problem.
Worse in the secondary. And their division's going to be better.
Their offensive line got worse because Travis Frederick retired.
Yes.
Their defensive line, they did add a Pro Bowler in Alden Smith. The problem was he was a Pro Bowler in 2014.
I don't think they're a better team. I also think New York Giants are going to be better slightly. Washington will be better slightly. And Philadelphia will be healthier significantly.
Yeah, I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm glad that Peter King has them as the number one. That's awesome to see that.
Yeah.
But I don't know how they add three or four wins. They basically have last year's team. Really good offensively. They don't seem to come through in the clutch. And their defense is not going to be very good. And it's already shown some injury problems.
And the NFC doesn't have much of a bottom. So there's not many easy games for them.
No, and they have a ton of, I could see them going either, like against the Rams week one, against the Falcons, I think it's week two or three. They could win those games. They could also very easily lose those games.
Yeah.
I don't quite see it.
Yeah. John with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
So excited
news.
To talk to Eric Mangini. He's around the corner, former NFL coach two times. Will be joining us. Bunch of rings with New England. Thoughts on, here we go. Thursday's the start of the NFL season. What's he hearing? That's coming up next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Super Bowl with the Patriots, Browns, Jets as well. He's joining me live via the Coward Global Satellite Network. My buddy Eric Mangini, Fox Sports NFL analyst. All right, Buccaneers, they got Tommy a new toy. Now it's Leonard Fournette. Your initial reaction to that?
I like the Fournette pickup. Obviously, Jacksonville's getting rid of everybody. I like the pickup a lot. The idea of what Tampa being the most explosive offense, I'm not sure about that. I've got to see how much they let Tom run what he's been comfortable with for years and years, and how much is going to be a new system. And you know, I had Brett Favre, and one of my thoughts with bringing him in is let Brett Favre be Brett Favre so that you can get the most effective player you at that position possible. I think if you start changing a lot of stuff, which it sounds like, you know, Tom's had to adjust quite a bit, don't know if you're going to see the same guy, especially early on.
By the way, Belichick and Cam, I mean, I swear to God, Belichick's praised him more in the first 3 weeks than he did Brady the last 8 years. What do you make with all the kumbaya and all the rosy comments so far between Cam and Belichick?
I wouldn't put too much stock in Belichick praise. I mean, Belichick praises every opponent over the top. I don't think it's a negative thing that he's giving him love, but it's, you know, usually Bill has a rationale for everything he does, especially when it's things that are traditionally not in his wheelhouse, things that he doesn't normally do. I'm surprised, though. I'm surprised that he was named a captain. I was questioning whether or not he'd even make the team more or less start just based off of personalities. So I'm surprised it's probably an understatement as to where things are now.
So give me a couple of dark horse teams that you think are just simply better than what you're reading or what you're hearing. Give me a couple of dark horse teams to you.
I like Atlanta, and Atlanta had a struggle at the start of last season, but got things figured out in the latter part of the season. They've been quiet. There aren't a lot of expectations for them. And I might be a bigger fan of Matt Ryan's than most people are. That'd be one for me in the NFC. And I like Las Vegas for similar reasons. I think Carr had a big year not too long ago. Everybody seems to forget about that with Carr. And I like the way that they drafted, the type of guys that they drafted, the character of the guys that they've drafted. There's a toughness to them. There's a nastiness to those type of guys. And those guys are going to start adding up. And they weren't that far off last year.
Yeah. I want to ask you about, you know, I feel like Ryan Pace, the general manager of the Bears, is going to start Trubisky in the first 3 weeks against the Giants and Detroit and, you know, teams he thinks without great defenses. So when he has to, they've already declined Trubisky's fifth-year option. So when he moves off Trubisky, he can go, you know, he had a winning record. He wasn't a bust. We just moved on. I mean, I think they're just playing this thing out. It's like, do you really think Mitch is the guy? Why'd you bring Foles in and pay him a ton of money? Well, what do you make of what's going on naming Trubisky the starter?
Yeah, this is one of those situations where it's just going from bad to worse. You don't pick up the fifth year option. You obviously don't have a ton of faith in Trubisky, and you go in and get someone that you think you're going to bring in and is going to start and going to be an upgrade, and you've got to give away draft capital to do it. You've got to make a significant financial commitment to do it, and then he can't win the job. So now you have all the uncomfortableness of bringing in someone that everybody in the world knew you wanted to be the starter, and he can't beat out the guy that's there. And that doesn't necessarily mean that Trubisky's made some great strides this offseason. It's hard to think any players made great strides this offseason with the way that it's been structured. And there they are. They're stuck with two guys that you know, the whole not just the coaching staff in the organization, but the whole team knows there's no enthusiasm for.
Yeah. So Tua's not going to start the season. Is it first of all, your thoughts on that? And secondly, can you learn anything not playing?
Okay. I would say you definitely can learn things not playing.
Okay.
And there is the amount of pressure that rookies are under when they come in the sense of there's high expectations for them to perform. But we all know, Colin, when you start a new job, there's this learning curve that's inherent in it. And it's not just, you know, the new coaches, the new playbook, the new environment, but it's trying to get used to where you're living. It's all the things that happen during the course of normal life that makes it hard to really focus on just what you're there for, which is football. And it's hard to do. So being able to not have the pressure of starting, to be able to sit in the quarterback room, to go through game planning, to see someone else both succeed and fail, if you're paying attention, there's a lot that you can take away from that. And I think Aaron Rodgers is a good example of that.
Yeah. Deshaun Watson got big boy money. I would have done it. Would you have done it? Would you have paid him early?
Yeah, but you know, I'm not a huge fan of paying guys early, but I get in this market and with the trends that we've seen why people are doing it. Deshaun's a guy that can make something happen. Deshaun's a guy that when everything else breaks down, he's able to create some things, and that distinguishes him from some other quarterbacks. He's unique in that way. Do I like the investment that they made in him? Yeah, he's got a chance to win every year, and he gives you a chance in every game. So it's understandable why they did it.
Clowney to Tennessee. Are you comfortable with that contract?
I am. This is actually probably his best spot. So he's got the familiarity with Mike Vrabel, his position coach, his defensive coordinator. He's got the familiarity with the system. They understand the player that they're getting, his strengths, his weaknesses. There's not going to be that big learning curve with him coming in and trying to figure out, you know, what to do. So he should be able to plug and play right away. You know, I loved what New Orleans and the Browns were trying to do from a trade or a sign and trade perspective. I thought that was probably the most interesting aspect of the whole Clowney signing.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope you had a great summer. I know the weather in Cleveland today is all lightning and thunder.
Yeah, it's your favorite, Colin. It's you'd be tucked in with it in the blanket and listen to your lightning and thunder all day.
Oh, I love lightning and thunder. I've had many a day sitting on a beach watching lightning and thunder, and I love it. Coach, it's great seeing you. Can't wait for the season to start Thursday. Thanks again.
All right, we'll see you later.
Yeah, he told us Cleveland today is just, it's just, you know, all sorts of lightning and thunder. So we got our live shot in with him. We do appreciate it. Yeah, the Chicago thing is, you know, I feel bad for Matt Nagy because I think Matt Nagy's really good. I think he's got a lot of very clever Andy Reid qualities, but I think his career right now is tied to Trubisky and Ryan Pace's general manager. And, you know, that there's a lot of Americans, you know, you're out there and you're talented and maybe your boss, you know, your career's tied to your boss and one of your coworkers. And you're sitting there thinking, man, my career is not in my hands right now. It's into a less talented coworker and a boss that doesn't get it. And I think Matt Nagy's a star coach. I think he's really bright. And Ryan Pace at GM is, I got a lot of questions. And Mitch Trubisky, I've got more than a lot of questions. All right, last hour coming up. so excited for the NFL season. We'll go back to my predictions, what I have, Peter King's predictions. Peter likes the Raiders. Peter likes the Raiders. A lot of people are much higher on the Raiders. I think you just moved to a new city. I think that is a lot to unpack for a team that still doesn't have much on defense that I like. Hour 3 on Labor Day coming up.